Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
It's time now to get into the climate crazy, or as Don would put it, the climate crazy.
The casino of climate crazies.
He enjoys alliteration, this man. Now, I think we should begin with this one from New Zealand, because this over the weekend, there's this article on RNZ about bringing the climate change corridor to the marae. And they say part of celebrating Matariki is looking to the environment for tohu or signs of the new year. But as climate change takes hold around Aotearoa, the Maori calendar may no longer be able to predict its effects. So this weekend just gone, and Iwi and Dannevirke held their own climate change vananga to lead up to Matariki. And it was to raise awareness on the impacts of climate change. Now, and they talk about, you know, there's this name familiar to me, Mike Smith. They call him the veteran climate activist, who was one of the presenters. Now, Mike Smith is the person who I believe brought in that case to be heard in the Supreme Court from our five big polluters, isn't it, Don? Fonterra and others, that he says?
Well, he says they're polluters.
Yeah.
That's his definition of the word pollution. I mean, I find it obscene that anyone can continually use that word in the same sentence as some of New Zealand's most productive and useful companies. But anyway, it's his view.
So earlier this year, Mike won the right to sue seven of the country's biggest companies over their alleged being the keyword, contributions to climate change. And now he is speaking at different marais to what I see as a picture show, impressionable young youth about the gloom and doom the future of the planet holds for them. And he says that young people, they are not as invested in the status quo as my generation is. But he says younger people are more open to change. Don't we just know it? We call them impressionable young people for a reason. And he says he's going around to these marais speaking to younger people because younger generations did not have big investments or data, dairy or mining. So the idea of transforming those industries or maybe getting completely rid of dairy or mining, as Mike seems to think, will help us, won't threaten them. Now, I would even question this particular statement. Young people are not invested in dairy or mining. Fonterra, milk at schools, Weetabix breakfasts, every dollar of payout. I was told once that every dollar of the milk payout that Fonterra increases the forecast. It spread something like it was $100 for every Kiwi man, woman, and child that go into the wider economy. So I'm not sure what Mike means by the younger people not being invested in dairy or mining, because what are their synthetic fleeces made up of? The byproducts of mining, oil, petrochemicals, and so on. So you don't just need to drive a car to be guzzling fossil fuel. You could be using the byproducts, and every bit of plastic, every bit of stuff that comes to you from AliExpress or your latest buys from Kmart, you use the byproducts.
Well, there was a Stein substack, and R. Stein was his name, substack last week, that said there's at least 6,000 products in every person's lives that is fossil fuel derived. So if people that aren't interested in that want to have a quality of life, go for it. Go and live your life without it. See how it goes. Go and see how your culture works then.
Yep. So this had to be my first one for the climate crazy this week, because going to young people, just putting emotive arguments rather than the true science that does lie out there, I feel, in my opinion, is really wrong. But to each his own.
Well, and you know that Mr. Smith has got his way with the courts and sort of going to get his day in court to present his case. If the New Zealand courts come out with a judgment that is sort of supportive of his case, we are all in serious trouble. So, look, let's hope common sense prevails through our courts and it's depoliticized, which I'm hoping will start to occur soon. And we can all get some sleep from this nonsense. I did read that article, Jaspreet, And even a lady who I know a little bit, Mavis Mullins, was quoted in there. Now, she's a really well-known lady in the sort of Wairarapa area, and she made some outlandish statements as well. So it's almost like they are looking for an audience. Disappointing, really. Disappointing.
Is there anyone you don't know, Don? This, listeners, is my perpetual annoyance. Anything I speak with Don about, any name I mention, and this, most of them are new to me, Don will find a link from sometime, and he knows most people. Tells you he's a very well-traveled person who has been hobnobbing with the Kolkoloi of society, Don.
Oh, yes, I've got lots of suits and nice shoes to show for all that, Jaspreet, but they now are totally redundant.
Well, the next one for the climate crazy came from The Guardian, of course. Rising sea levels will disrupt millions of American lives by 2050, the study found out. And of course, it's all about coastal resilience, sea level rise, be it New Zealand or be it in the States. And this particular study was put forth by this group who call themselves the Union of Concerned Scientists. Seriously, you couldn't make this up. And this particular group, with all their outlandish modeling based on the RCP 8.5 scenario, which Don and I have often spoken about, is headed by this scientist named Kirsty Dell, who, just by sheer coincidence, seemed to have served as a science communicator for Al Gore's Climate Reality Project, where she delivered presentations on global warming to K-12 students and adult learners. K-12, kindergarten upwards, and adult learners. So again, just like Mike Smith has been is now doing in New Zealand, and it's not just him, there's lots of people spreading their version of climate reality to younger people. This lady's been doing it, but now, obviously, she's moved on from the Climate Reality Project and formed a union with other scientists. Their paper is not worth what it's being printed on. But of course, who will pounce upon these scenarios, John, seeing it a gravy train? Insurance.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. They will. There's, yeah, you've called it, it's not worth it. The paper it's written on, and I'd agree. There's so many of these people writing this sort of stuff around the world. All I'd implore our listeners to do is be cautiously cynical about all this stuff and get some more research, because you know it is creating tensions and anxiety that are undeserved. We just don't need this stuff.
You just need to look at the fine print. So Kirsty was interviewed on, you know, how did they come across this paper, and she says the question was asked, well, tell us about the time frame you looked at, that the different scenarios that you fed into this model. And she says, well, we looked at the period from 1970 to the year 2000, and we used that as a historical baseline. Then we looked at mid-century, used 30 years centered around the year 2050. And then we looked at the last 30 years of the 21st century. And then we created a model and we got a climatological average. And then we ran a model. So she looked at 30 years, their historical baseline is from 1970 to 2000, 4.8, nearly 5 billion years of the Earth's history be damned. Let's look at the last 30 years and see where we can get. So, Kirsty, the head of this particular group, Union of Concerned Scientists, a veteran of the Climate Reality Project, which is funded by Al Gore. And this last week, just gone, Al Gore was in Rome on a three-day climate reality project. He's been doing dozens of these. In fact, Al Gore, a couple of days ago, tweeted, "Ciao, Italy. I'm thrilled to be in Rome hosting a 56th climate reality leadership training project over the weekend." Do you know how many people he's trained on?
You have told me. I think it's how many thousand? 50,000?
He has trained 50,000 climate reality leaders who Al Gore claims are at the nucleus of a 3.5 million strong network of climate leaders across the world.
And he's probably right with those number of people that have been indoctrinated his way. I doubt he's funded it all, Jaspreet. I mean, you know, you had James Shaw going to those sorts of things, didn't you? And he had to give a little pages to get there. So
yeah, I can't believe that. So there's still a Pledge Me page up on Google Archives that you can see where James Shaw actually publicly fundraised to, as he said, to go get schooled by Al Gore.
Look, isn't it amazing? They've gone to Rome. Yeah, it's an easy place to get to. Just 1,000 flying in, no problem. Wonder if any Kiwis went to it. I wonder if any New Zealanders have gone to it, or they just they're sort of stuck because they know that if they go, they're going to be growled at for using fossil fuel power to get there.
Well, Don, the Climate Reality Project has an Oceania chapter.
Has
an Oceania chapter. Last year, October, November, they actually have meetups for the veterans. In New Zealand, Al Gore's website on the Climate Reality Project says 150 is who he trained firsthand, including our ex-climate change minister, James Shaw. And these people keep having regular meetups, you know, to catch up on how far they are down their career paths. So
yep,
that's where this is.
And they'll all be comparing notes on where they got their cash from, how they got funded, and you know, who we can go for next. Yeah, 150 of them in New Zealand. Yep, love to see them in one place. And they don't identify that, I imagine, when they do have their powwows.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm being a bit cruel, aren't I? Because I don't like doing that. But these people have no feeling for the damage they do to people with their output, the damage they do to people at the coalface, doing the genesis of actually the well-being of this country.
Completely. I think, Don, they've convinced themselves that what they are doing is right, because otherwise, how would you look at yourself in the mirror every morning?
Having a conscience is something that I can't see many of them having, and I don't think they know the meaning of the word hypocrisy. So,
but yeah. I think the only way you live with yourself is convince yourself you're doing it for altruistic motives, because otherwise life would get really hard. Now look at us, what we've done. We have set up a panel in New Zealand to examine the methane science. Independent being the key word here.
Coalition agreement, thankfully. The ag sector got that through the machine, and it was good for them to push for that. Very happy. I mean, Groundswell New Zealand would be considered one of the prime movers of that, as Federated Farmers and others did. So look, it seems like, yep, points on the board, Miss Ford. But on the other side of it, when you look at the makeup of that panel, I'm sorry, it doesn't do it for me at the basis of the personalities there. The people that have been around New Zealand pushing New Zealand into this stuff, still being on that panel, don't have a place there for me. Now, they'll say they're pure scientists, or they'll be independent. Sorry, my view is, to get independence, you needed to get authors of papers that have clearly been rigorously developing those papers and presenting them, but totally ignored in New Zealand. So how are these people all of a sudden going to say everything we've done before, a couple of those players there especially,
is wrong.
They're just not. So I just getting independence here is not clear to me how it's going to work.
No. I honestly don't know how any one of those people can claim to be independent. And then again, they are in, all of them are in sync with each other. There is no voice that has any time been, you know, in the contrary. And so they're just going to be in an echo chamber. And that's why, I'd like to be hopeful, but I am my usual cynical self with the makeup of the methane science panel. And what else? I think the biggest one this week for me was Denmark, Don, the climate crazy. That had to be the biggest one, to be the world first emission tax going after gassy cattle, and beginning from 2030. Now, keep in mind, this is still just a proposal, has yet to be voted on by the parliament, but Denmark has decided $100 per cow. No doubt they'll be similar on other ruminants, but $100 per cow per year is what they are going to be collecting as a greenhouse gas tax. And it's going to be, of course, surprise, surprise, partly going to be used to usher in a green transition. And a large part of this, they're going to be setting up a multi-billion dollar fund that is going to be for conservation. Again, radical environmentalism, there is no limit. You know, we spoke about the Chevron case. who is going to interpret how far do we go? When is the health of an ecosystem restored? And how do you balance out the detriment to your own people, your own economy, the people's futures, you know?
So Denmark's going to embark upon 400,000 hectares of buyback of farmland. They're talking a 40 billion crown cost, which is 10 billion New Zealand dollars.
Wow.
You imagine if that was said in New Zealand, that we're going to buy back land and we're going to take it out of production and we're going to pay the owners far more than its current value to get rid of them. The taxpayers would go spare in this country. And I think they may do in Denmark as well, even though Denmark's a very wealthy country in comparison to New Zealand. It's certainly its productivity per head is better than New Zealand. So its GDP per head, sorry, is far better than New Zealand, about 50% more.
Yep.
So, you know, it's our job to try and educate a few of the farming groups in Denmark, the ones that are supportive, that this is all based on a nonsense concept. And thankfully, we've found one. We've found a group of farmers over there, a farming organization that calls it stupid.
Yeah.
Well, that's as correct as it can be. I mean, I say it's stupid as well. It's all predicated on lies. And it's about time we all sat up and joined forces with like-minded organizations around the world as farmers and sorted it out, because it's not fair. Anything that's not based on truths annoys me. And clearly, we know, as we've talked about before, the methane and nitrous oxide issues are supposed issues. They're actually non-problems to any significant effect on global warming. So, gee, I feel for these Danish farmers. And, you know, of course, in their press releases, they're saying this is a carbon tax that New Zealand's just scrapped.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're being now used as they didn't go there, but we are. So we're now better than them. And we must have that, you know, from my point of view, the Danish farmers that care must be told the truth. And I think we'll make it our mission, eh, Jaspreet?
Totally. Let's bring it on. But it's time now for us to go to our next guest. So Peter Keir will be beaming in from Denmark and speaking to us about what is happening, why they are embarking on this crazy mission. What does he think the repercussions are going to be? It's a short 15-20 minute interview. And if there's one thing you listen to it, make this the one today, because if Denmark becomes the first one to actually pass this, when this gets voted in, putting $100 tax per ruminant animal, you can bet your bottom dollar it's going to be held as an example for other countries, including New Zealand, to emulate. And what that will do to our economy is going to be anything but pretty.
And it's absolutely right, Jaspreet. And of course, there's many players in this that want this momentum to continue, because actually it does redistribute the income from the landed, the farmers through others, and filter the revenue through others.
Unacceptable. Yeah,
there's just nothing left in the tank for the farmers to continue reinvestment in their own business. So look, I know we can't, it's hard to keep harking on about it and saying everything's, it's the wrong direction.
It is.
It is the wrong direction. We need a break. We need to get the reality check here. And hopefully listening to Peter might just turn a few people back.
Absolutely. So we'll have Peter Keir on, and translating the organization roughly translates in English as the Danish Sustainable Ag Group. And I know many of us get triggered by the word sustainable, but what they mean is what sustainable truly is: resilient, able to withstand the hard knocks. And looking forward to this one. Thank you so much for joining us. 2057 is a number, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.